Hey, it's time for Voice Over Body Shop Tech Talk number 104. So I'll go the 1, the 0, and you give us the 4. Tech Talk number 104. Again, if you've got a question for us, put it in the chat room. It's about your home voiceover studio. That's what George and I are experts in, and we love to talk about it. So if you want to hear the right stuff and the right answers to your questions, this is the place to do it. So get it in there right now. Are we ready, Mr. Whittem?
Oh yeah, we got a lot of tech news. I'm gonna be speaking quickly this week to get through all of it.
All right. Well, that's great. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about microphones a little bit more. So stay tuned. It's time for Voice Over Body Shop Tech Talk right now. Voice Over Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, the home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, the folks who bring you Source Connect. VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training. VoiceActor.com, your voiceover website ready in minutes. VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for voiceover success. And by World Voices, the industry association of freelance voice talent. And now, here's your hosts, Dan and George. Well, that new opening makes me dizzy. Hi, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. Tech Talk. Lots of tech to talk about tonight.
Do I have a Tech Talk button on here?
No, yeah, probably. That's not it.
Mike, that's not it.
Delete that one, by the way. Anyway.
These were already on here when I got it. Okay, good.
All right. Time for Tech Talk. And
morning
aren't we
zoo
excited?
Crap.
Hey, what's the traffic like out there? Alrighty.
Hit him with the high.
Yeah, you know, that kind of
okay.
Stuff.
All right, now that we're distracting everybody, we're here to talk about home voiceover studios. And why are George and I doing this? Why have we been doing this for the past 12 years? One, to improve everybody's audio. But two, to remind you that it takes professional help to get your sound the way it's supposed to sound. Mm-hmm. What it's supposed to sound like, whistle. And there's a way it's supposed to sound. And
kiss,
George
whistle.
And I, kids whistle?
Whistle
what?
Kiss.
Whistle kiss?
Whistle kiss.
Okay, whatever.
What is
keeping
it
simple.
Sound like? Keep it simple, stupid.
That's right. But that's what we teach you guys, and this is what we do. We can teach you how to keep it simple and not panic and not be intimidated by what all this stuff. You got to use this compressor and this channel strip, and oh, this is the microphone you got to use and stuff like that. And basically, it's all misinformation. Everybody's telling you what works for them as opposed to what works best for everybody. And again, not everything works best for everybody. So it takes somebody who understands what's going to make you sound the way you're supposed to sound in the space that you specifically have. And that's where George and I are experts on. We also fix stuff because as George has a t-shirt, you still have the t-shirt that says, I'm here because you broke something.
I wish I did. I had that a long time ago, but that's a great one. I love that one.
You know, I think we'll both have. Maybe we make that the logo for George the Tech. We're here because you broke something, and things break, and we know how to fix it because we understand the troubleshooting. We understand the process of how it all works. And most of you are like, "Why did it stop recording? Or why didn't it save it? Or why is the program shutting?" You know, all these things. We've seen it all. We know how it works. Somebody we know very well says, why doesn't this new microphone work? Why do I sound so distant? And it was the old, are you talking into the gold dot?
Right, exactly.
And am I talking into the wrong side of the microphone now, Dan?
Yeah, you are now. Anyway, if you would like to work with one of us as somebody who knows what they're talking about, if you want to work with George, where would you go? You would go to, where
George
is that one? Oh, here it is. It's the one
dot.
Up. Oh, that one, georgiad.tech. You go over to georgiad.tech to talk to George, and he's got all of those services. Like what?
Not just me.
Well, yeah, not just a lot talk of us to me. Now.
This is a team effort now at georgiad.tech. We have like an unbelievable array of tech team members, Dan included as well. But we have an amazing array of people, and the team grows. First of all, I'm flattered that folks want to work with us and provide services. But I mean, look at these familiar faces, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I know all these guys.
We've got some familiar faces over here at georgiad.tech, and you can work with any of them. They're available for scheduling, and you can actually, through our website, go to view all services. And when you're there, you can filter by category. So if you just want to learn about Reaper stuff, click on the Reaper category and you'll see services that can be related to using Reaper, right? So we've made it a little bit easier to filter because we have a lot of services. There's a lot in this menu. It became a little bit of a Greek restaurant menu. So you can search and filter out that way. But if you come in here and you're like, I don't know what to do. Well, we've got Get Started Here. And if you go to Get Started Here, this is an onboarding intake, and you'll send us a bunch of info, and Rich Green will take you in. We'll read what you're looking to get help with, and Rich will either help you himself or send you to a specialist. So we have so many ways to help you, and we can white glove your support over at georgiad.tech.
All right.
How about yourself?
Well, if you go over to homevoiceoverstudio.com, which is right here.
Bingo.
See, now I'm catching on how to do all this stuff. One of the things that everybody likes to do with me, because I like working with beginners, people who are trying to get going, and I like to see who's coming up in the business and who's got the talent. And sometimes I get audio from people, and I'm like, are you sure you want to be doing this? But if their audio is good, or if it's not so good, I need to hear exactly what's going on. And that's why we have the Specimen Collection Cup. Okay, yeah, it's silly. Yeah, it's a gag. But it gives me a sample of your audio so I can analyze it and make sure that you're getting the information you need to help you get your sound the way it's supposed to sound.
That's the best $25 you are ever going to spend.
Everybody says you should be charging more. And I'm like, well, maybe, but in the meantime.
It's to get you getting you into the fold.
Exactly.
At a fair price.
Right. So this is what we do. Go on over to one of our websites and work with one of us and get your sound the way it's supposed to sound. So, all right, we're done with Plugapalooza, which, by the way, is what this show has always been about for the past 12 years. But it's time now for George's Tech Update. Take it away, Mr. Whittem.
Everybody know who that guy is?
That's the guy from Apple.
That's Tim Apple. Tim Apple, after the presentation today, had... And come on, Tim, say it. That's right, one more thing. Apple had one more thing today after they showed us all their brand new, very high-end, expensive Macs, like the Mac Pro, the new Mac Pro for $7,000, the Mac Studio for $4,000, the MacBook Air 15-inch, which was compelling to me because that's actually a computer I would use, and I do use, now in 15 inches, for $1,300. And then they came out with this thing called Apple Vision.
Oh, what is Apple Vision?
And it looks like this.
Oh, it looks like an Oculus.
It's kind of like an Oculus. It has that kind of form factor. It looks a bit like ski goggles, actually, when it's being worn. But this is what their vision of what an AR/VR goggle would look like. And, obviously, we're not going to watch the whole thing because it's about a 45-minute presentation. But if this is exciting and interesting to you and you want to know more about what Apple thinks we should be wearing in the near future, 2024 and beyond, because it doesn't come out till then, by the way. This is still vaporware. But it's their vision of what this might be. And you see the eyes right there that you're seeing on her face? This is the really crazy thing. that is not actually, you're not looking at her eyes visually through the screen or through it like a translucent screen. That is a video projection of what her eyes look like on the other side of the glass. You're seeing a digital representation of the person's eyes. It's really weird. And so why is that a thing? Because they want you to be able to make eye contact with somebody who's in the room. So if somebody walks in the room and you're looking at your virtual display in front of you, which is what a lot of these people, a lot of the point of using this thing, now I can't even play the video. How about that? A lot of the purpose of using this thing is to actually be able to interact not only with your computer and video that's around you, but also interact with people in the room with you. So if someone comes into the room and sits down with you, it will show the person that you're doing something by showing like a little graphic display. So like on the front of the unit right now, it's showing this little display showing that you're not here right now. You are in another world looking at your computer, your virtual computer screens, right? And you can have all these virtual displays arrayed around you. But as soon as someone walks in, it knows there's someone in the room and they come out of the mist and all of a sudden they're in the video with you. It's crazy, man.
That's weird. That's I can see the practicality, but somebody at Apple was thinking about this and said, let's do this.
The thing that we don't know, one is, will you get motion sickness? Because about 10% of people that use these things get motion sickness. And two, are you going to wear this thing on your friggin' head for hours at a time, right? These are two big things that nobody can know until you actually try this thing. And also, $3,500.
Holy crap.
So it's essentially another computer you're wearing on your face. It can show your desktops. It can show your screen of your desktop computer. So it can be like another display, but it's really its own computer. So it can be showing you video content. You can watch movies. It's got their Atmos surround processor for surround sound. It's a 3D display. So if you're watching The Way of Water, you know, it's literally 3D. It's nuts, right? So anyway, who's going to buy this? I have no idea. People with a deep wallet who want to try out the newest, craziest thing from Apple. That's who's going to try it. But we'll see. And it's coming out in a while. Anyway, they have a lot. The only computer, like I said, I would probably consider to be really relevant to you guys is going to be for sure the MacBook Air 15-inch. The new studio computer is $4,000, and it's got far more processing power than any voice actor would need. And people ask me all the time, which Apple computer would you buy for a voiceover studio? And I'd say, just pick one. I mean, literally any of them, starting $599 for a Mac Mini, will be the fastest computer that you've likely ever used if you're coming from a Windows or an older Mac.
Yeah, because the operating system is an operating system with a Mac. It's super different well form and function.
Yeah, it's kind of mind-boggling. Anyway, that's what's coming from Apple. And go ahead and watch. Go to apple.com and watch their two-hour keynote if that's of interest to you. I've also got a new microphone, thanks to Mike McGonigal, who's one of our folks, you know, that Dan knows and I know. He knows the guys at Earthworks Mics, and so he got me one. And this is it. This is the Earthworks Ethos. And yes, it's a broadcaster mic. However, it's a broadcaster mic that sounds really good, like really studio-grade audio. Like, it's high fidelity, it's condenser, and it sounds you guys are hearing it now. It's a really nice sounding microphone. And, you know, when these came out, they were $700. Now they're like under $400. They're like in the $369 range, I think. So way more affordable. Just a few real quick bullet points. You guys, I have a whole 10-minute long video about this on the George the Tech YouTube channel. You can watch it if it's interesting to you. But the quickie ones is it's made of stainless steel. So this thing is quite dense and heavy. In fact, when I first picked it up, I was shocked at how heavy it is. And what's really weird is considering how big and bulky it is, the capsule inside is really tiny. It's like a 10 millimeter capsule. I'll mute the mic for a second while I unscrew the grill so you don't hear too much noise. Check this out.
Yeah, this is fascinating. Somewhat reminiscent of an SM7B, but only it's a condenser mic. All right, let's hear it.
Yeah, it's meant to be competing with the SM7B and those other broadcast style mics, but that's the capsule.
Little
tiny
thing.
That's a little teeny tiny thing. It's really small, but that's what Earthworks does. Their microphone technology is all based around micro or very small capsules as opposed to larger. Why? Well, it's a different philosophy on how to design a microphone. Smaller capsules can react more quickly to sound because they have less mass. And that very, very, very fast reaction time is what can help them have a very low, very, very minimal color. So when you want a mic that has extremely low distortion and color and you want the honest sound of your voice, this is a mic that will be able to do that. And anyway, it's just a really nice and good-looking microphone. Feels good. And the Triad Orbit mount that it comes with is awesome.
Ooh, it comes with the Triad Orbit.
Wow. It comes with this. This is like a $50 mount, and it comes with it. And it's internally shock-mounted. So, you know, when I beat on it, it's because the whole arm is resonating a little bit. But if I damp the arm, the mic is internally shock-mounted. It's internally shock-mounted, and when you add this back on, it actually has a double-layer pop screen. And all this stuff can be removed and cleaned as well. So if you get this thing dirty somehow, this comes out, you can clean it. This can be cleaned. And if you're a real plosive heavy person, add the foam on and you get another layer of plosive protection. But as you can see, with plopper mic placement. Can you pop it? Oh, heck, you can. You can pop the crap out of this. But with good mic technique, let's say I put it way over here, way pop, 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 way out of the pop zone. It still has a good presence sound. Presence sound, right? So anyway, very interesting mic, very different from the normal shotgun mics and the side address mics that we use and recommend so often, and just a different thing to try out. So anyway, that's the Earthworks. What else do I have? Oh, another show and tell. I got acoustical panels from a company I saw at NAMM called ProSoCoustic, and here's one of them. It doesn't look like much from the front. It like just looks like a normal fabric-wrapped acoustical panel, right?
Right.
What's interesting about them is a few things. Well, first of all, what's interesting is what's on the inside, and these have a very interesting visual thing to show you on their website, prosoacoustic.com. It shows you the core of what's inside the panel.
Oh,
when you slide this little slider.
Acoustical baffles and stuff.
Right. So this is not just a simple sound absorber with rock wool. It's actually got a diffusion layer behind the rock wool. And the theory behind that is when sound goes in, some of it's going to pass through the rock wool and hit this diffuser layer behind it. When it hits the diffuser, the sound will then be shunted off in another direction, right? It will send it off one way or the other. Well, when the sound comes off the diffuser in an oblique angle off to the edge, it's going to be passing through more of the absorber, the rock wool. So the idea is that you get more performance from a thinner panel. That's the theory. In practice, does it make sense? Is it more effective than just thicker rock wool? I'm not sure yet because I have to do some tests. I will be putting these in the Studio Bricks booth and playing around with them a bit. But they have a few other interesting features like the... What did I just knock on the floor? Nothing too expensive. Oh, a water bottle. Nothing. Okay. the fabric on the back of this thing can be removed really easily, and you can rewrap the panel. So they use sort of like that screen, window screen thing, right? And there's a groove around it. So you can pull this window screen out, and if the fabric gets dirty, you can wash it and put it back on. If you want to get a new look, you get new fabric, you can change the color. You can get printed fabric, put that on and have custom designs. And you can do all that yourself because it has this groove where you can change out the fabric. Really cool. Really thoughtful. And It's got a really nice French cleat style mounting bracket. And even more surprising to me is if you type in into Google, the first retail store is Home Depot. They wow. sell them through Home Depot, which surprised the heck out of me.
I'm sure it did.
So Home Depot, Sweetwater. Anyway, so a new product that new to me, not super new to the marketplace, but new to me. And I'll do a little playing around with it. I've had them for a little while, so I just want to introduce you to that. And last but not least, just an update on the Passport VO. Mike Goodman from Centrance is back from Europe after he's been doing a bunch of trade shows. And so now he is getting into the nitty-gritty of locking down the circuit design, sending it off to the manufacturer of the boards themselves that populate and create the little circuit boards. And then they'll be sending those back, and he'll be building the unit into the chassis, which will look a lot like one of these things. Then we'll get our hands on one and test it and sign off, hopefully, on the first go-round, you know. And if as long as everything works exactly as designed, then we'll get to finally get them shipped in a quantity in the fall. We're still saying fall. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. But it ain't summer yet. So
it ain't summer yet. And there are still some of that 100 unit batch available. If you do end up saying, I want to be part of that 100 unit batch that ships in the fall, then please do use the coupon code VOBS when you check out. And we would appreciate that, so he knows where you're coming from. So anyway, that's it for me. And Dan, more about mics.
Yeah, in my basics this week, there is a lot of misunderstanding about microphones, especially and the Earthworks one there is an excellent example, because there seems to be a lot of people out there who are sending me audio and they're like, well, I'm using an RE20 or I'm using an SM7B. And my immediate question is who told you to do that? Because it certainly wasn't George or I. You know, people are getting information from everywhere. And as I always say, everybody is an expert in one voiceover studio, their own. And what works for them may not be what works best for you. Which, again, is why you need to work with somebody who really understands what your room is supposed to sound like. Because to me, everything is physical. You know, there are other guys that are going to say, oh, well, we can do all these filters and we can do all this stuff and we can shape the sound. I can ascribe to that kind of stuff in certain situations. But when you're starting out, it's so important to just sound like you and in the environment in which you're recording. But that brings us to the topic about microphones. What microphone should you use? The question that we get the most is, well, it's a part A and part B. What's the best microphone for voiceover? And B, the one that drives me absolutely bananas is, what's the best microphone to make me sound the best? What's going to sound, make my voice sound the best? The fact of the matter is, I mean, a little bit of a reality check here. When you're talking to other people, one, you're not talking to them over a microphone. You're talking to them in through the air, you know, one air molecule bouncing off the other, creating sound waves and going into the other person's ears and hearing you. And there's a number of factors that go into what you perceive when somebody's listening to you. It's the acoustics of the room. It's how far away you are, that sort of thing. So it's important to realize that why are there so many different microphones and why do people keep saying that, well, this will make you sound great or this one makes me sound great. The fact of the matter is if you're a good voice actor, no matter what your voice sounds like, if you're a good voice actor, if you understand proper microphone technique, if your studio, if your booth is acoustically the way it's supposed to, very little sound coming in, very little reverberation because you're using good sound panels, that sort of thing, it doesn't matter what studio condenser mic you're using, unless it's a super duper cheapo. For example, we don't want to, we have to get my thing on here, not yours, George. Saying George, the dot tech, when in reality, we want to go to the other one, which is, homevoiceoverstudio.com since I'm talking right now. Anyway, there's no mic that's going to make you sound better than another one, unless you're buying a very expensive microphone. And what does a very expensive microphone do to make you sound great? It makes you and everything around you sound great the way it sounds. But you don't want a mic that is super duper sensitive, that's going to pick up ants marching in your backyard or your furnace or your air conditioner or somebody walking across a floor somewhere. You want something that is going to be not so sensitive that it's going to pick up everything. You want a microphone that's going to pick up you as you exist. And how much money do you have to spend on that? Well, if you spend $1,000, you're going to get a microphone that's going to hear everything, depending on the type of microphone you get. But if you spend over $150, maybe I'm going to put the price point up to maybe $200. Anything over $200 in a studio condenser mic, no matter what the manufacturer, it's going to do the job. It's going to hear you as you exist. Now, are there little bits of coloration in certain microphones? Yes. Why are there so many different microphones? Because they have a lot of different uses. And most of it has to do with music production, which has nothing to do with voiceover. Now, you've heard me use several different microphones on this show. Right now, I'm using a Mojave MV5 or 50. What is it? What does it say on the box? It's a 50, I think. We use the Harlan Hogan VO1A, which is a great microphone. And we use 416s. And what's the one you use, the Audio-Technica one? That's the...
Well, there's a couple, yeah. There's the Audio-Technica 875R.
875R.
Oh, wait, not that one. This one. This is a $180 mic. There's the AT2035, which is a $150 mic. This would be the cheapest mic I can recommend.
Right.
But, you have one right there, too.
There's the 875R. This is going to be the official Jeff Holman mic when we return to the studio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a shockingly good microphone. Shockingly.
I'm shocked. Shocked.
Shocked.
Yeah. So you don't have to spend a fortune. If someone says you need, if you go into Banjo Emporium and you tell them you want to be a voice actor, they're going to sell you a U87. U87s are fabulous microphones. But the reason they're fabulous microphones is because they're designed to be in fabulous places that are acoustically sterile and acoustically neutral. Don't get sucked into this vortex of what's the best microphone for me. Get one that works well. We've still been talking about the new NT1 from Rode, the fifth generation. Oh, yeah. I've been getting people into those. It's just a super easy microphone to use.
Have you got a few people using them?
I do indeed.
In the real world?
Like, I set one up in somebody's closet last week, and they booked a job immediately. Was it because of the microphone or because they were
probably
prepared?
Because you were there setting it up for them, showing them
how it works,
use it, making sure that it's in the right spot, and making sure the environment they're in it sounds really good.
And that's what we do.
Yeah.
And you'll hear about other microphones, too. A studio condenser mic anywhere over $200 is going to do the job. And actually, even less than that, $175, maybe $150, like the AT2050 or the 2035.
Yeah, 2035. $150 is that's kind of like my baseline.
Yeah. But the thing is if your environment is right, you're going to sound great. Anyway. You guys can send in questions, and we have a bunch of them, and we're going to get to those questions right after this break. So don't go away here at Voice Over Body Shop Tech Talk. We'll be right back after these particular commercials. So let's start off with this one.
Have you noticed the specific demands of clients regarding our home VO studios? Are they at a professional level to record for broadcast? And what does that mean? To me, it means it doesn't sound bad. I've seen several now demanding cardioid condenser microphones. Some are great, and cheap ones not so great. So how do you choose? It's like standing in the checkout line at the supermarket deciding which candy or mints you want to buy. So which is right for you? Make it easy on yourself and get the Harlan Hogan Signature Series VO1A, the first and only mic designed for voiceover performers by a voiceover performer. The VO1A faithfully captures deep tones without sounding bassy. and has a silky smooth top end that's never harsh. A perfect sound palette for both male and female voiceover performers.
Get the complete kit with mic cable and shock mount now.
Go to voiceoveressentials.com where you'll see all their great products made just for us voiceover people.
It's that time of the show where I talk about Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect. And, well, it is definitely the heir apparent to ISDN. There's some old ISDN equipment back there. That's not being used anymore, and Source Connect has taken over. And why is Source Connect the one that's taken over? Mainly because it's really got there very, very early on and got its way into the workflows of many different commercial recording studios. And now that that tool is what works smoothly with their production workflow, it's what allows them to stream the audio from clients and talent all over the world directly into the track in Pro Tools or Nuendo or Reaper or whatever they're using. It is now part of a workflow. And that is why if you're getting to the point in your career where you're gunning for agent represented work, possibly you're in the union or getting into the union, and you're finding that that Source Connect is showing up on auditions, it's time for you to get set up. Head over to source-elements.com. You can get your account set up. I do recommend getting a subscription to get started. That doesn't mean you have to hold it for the rest of your life, but get started with a subscription because you'll have their tech support at your beck and call to get through all of the setup process to get it running smoothly in your studio. And I think it's worth the cost of admission to do that. Anyway, thanks Source Elements. We appreciate it. Let's get on with the show right after this.
Well, hey there, heroes. It's David H. Lawrence, the 17th of VO Heroes. And I had a chance recently to talk to Amy Jo Berman. Now, who is Amy Jo Berman? She's somebody who can help you with your career. If you visit the URL below, you'll see it. Amy Jo Berman is the former head of casting at HBO. So she sits on the opposite side of the table when you're doing your auditions, whether it's on camera or voiceover, and she has a lot to say about things like AI and synthetic voices and getting paid for auditions that people have been talking about, self-tapes at home, which we've been doing in the world of voiceover for like, what, centuries now? This link will take you to a place where you can register for her free webinar where you can ask any questions you want about making your auditions better. And your auditions are the one thing that you have control over that can increase your bookability. So visit voheroes.com/Berman. That's voheroes.com/Berman.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're enjoying VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam. VOBS.TV.
Alrighty, and we're back.
We're back.
And we got lots of questions here. We love it when we get questions.
We sure do.
Yeah, an interesting one we got. The first one we got here was from Julio Perez with a suggestion. It says, have you considered discussing Apple's newly introduced Logic Pro for iPad in your next Tech Talk? Well, now we're going to talk about it. I'm fully aware you have mentioned the following in the past. The Mac OS version of Logic Pro, as well as Avid's Pro Tools, are extremely complex for those individuals looking into entering the world of voiceover or any type of recording, as far as I'm concerned. We've tested the iPad OS version of Twisted Wave, but have experienced issues with connecting to the preamp when trying to record, in which the iPad cannot see the microphones and or preamp consistently. So first off, Logic Pro, way too complex. If you're a musician and you're doing multi-tracking, and you're putting a saxophone and a drum line and a bass line and a vocal track and all that stuff, that's what Logic is for. It is not specifically for voiceover. Why, again, would you buy a control room for a nuclear reactor to control a hamster running in a wheel? Right. It is way too complex. Is it fun to work with? Yes. Is it cool? Can you do all sorts of cool stuff? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many of your clients are asking you to do cool stuff? They're asking you for your voice and they don't want you futzing with it.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it answered the question in the most direct way possible. No.
Well, that makes it easy. Keep it simple, George.
I'll try Logic Pro for iPad. I don't know why I would use it. But it, I guess what he's intimating here is, will Logic Pro for iPad be a better will it more reliably detect an external microphone interface than Twisted Wave? I will believe it when I see it. I have no idea if it will. I have used iPad and iPhone to use USB devices in several different scenarios where it let me down. And so I am definitely not that excited about it. The only way I'd be excited about it is if in iOS 17, if it gives you an audio input selection for your DAW. So like if Twisted Wave or Logic on iPad says, choose your input and lets you choose your microphone before you hit record, then maybe I could get behind it. But until that day, it's still a hobbyist's tool. To me, it doesn't feel pro. It feels like it's in a pinch thing, something you can get away with using, but you would not want to rely on it for any serious work, which is ridiculous because the iPad Pro is a $1,000 computer with unbelievable power that's still crippled by iOS. So let's see what happens with iOS 17 for the iPad and see if they give it the horsepower, the features that we need.
Yeah.
And then I'll get back to you, Julio. So we'll see. Stay tuned.
Yeah, you would think that Apple, with the huge market in podcasting and stuff like that, would have come up with a way for people to do podcasting on their iPad. And I'm sure some people are.
Like a turnkey thing?
Yeah.
Having Apple literally creating the term podcast?
Right.
So, as far as I know. I think it was Apple. Could be wrong about that.
Well, no, because they were designed for iPods.
Right. That's where the name came from.
That's right.
It's odd to me. We'll see what comes with the new version of iOS. It's whatever Apple thinks is the quickest way to profit. That's, you know, let's see what they come up with.
All right. You've got the one from Sasha Van V.
Van V. Hi, Sasha. I'm building a closet studio for voiceover. Can you please advise on how to affix sound foam to the walls or folding doors? Thank you in advance. First of all, I'm not a big fan of foam. I'll get that out of the way. There are much better products that are not made of foam, such as stuff made out of rock wool or acoustical cotton. Both of those materials you can get made in panels by ATS Acoustics. I highly recommend that. If you already have bought the foam because you bought it at soundprooffoam.com or Amazon.
Soundproof foam?
Yeah, that was a website, Soundproof Foam. Or you bought it from Amazon and it came compressed in a little plastic zip, you know, came compressed in some plastic and then you cut it open and expand. Whatever the way you got ended up buying foam, if you already own it, my best recommendation to you is to attach it to something else, like a thin backer, whether that be foam core or cardboard or some other kind of material you find at Home Depot. I would attach it to that first using spray glue, which you spray outside your house. Do not spray glue anywhere near your house, in your office, in your closet, or near you. Do it outside or in the garage or somewhere. And spray, use it properly and attach it to a backer. Now you can now easily attang that on walls,
like
doors, or whatever. Yeah. Don't try to use Velcro on the back. Stick on Velcro on the back of the foam. It's going to fall off. It's going to drive you crazy. And do not spray glue the foam directly to your walls or your closet doors. That's also a really bad idea.
Especially
getting it
if
off
you
later
rent.
Will be a nightmare.
and we've seen it. People like, oh, I rent this place. Oh, you're in big trouble. Anyway.
Yeah. Yep.
Patricia Andrea asks, I have a quick question. Well, you've come to the right place. I have the same laptop as George and Dan in terms of storing files. One, do you use an external hard drive or the cloud? And two, do you name your files in a special way? Well, as a working voice actor who does a lot of storage and lots of file naming and stuff, do I use an external hard drive? I have one. When things start to get piled up on my Mac Mini, I will usually take all the downloads and throw them onto my external hard drive and free up about 20 gigabytes of space, which is, you know, significant, especially when you start recording and you're out of space. Ooh, I was not paying attention.
And I will upload it to an external hard drive, which I turn off because the external 8 terabyte hard drive I have makes a lot of noise. And I'm like, well, why? Where's that whirring from? And I stick my head under my oh, it's the external hard drive. I just unplug it and turn it off, and suddenly that little buzz of line in my spectrograph goes away. So, you know, solid state hard drives are probably a better way to go.
While ago, I was at Costco and they had Seagate's 5 terabyte Seagate's for like $129. Some crazy deal.
That's an SSD.
No, this is a spinning hard drive.
Oh, okay.
But it is a surprisingly quiet one. The modern ones have gotten much, much quieter. So they are a little bit more capable of being close to a mic. But if you need what I call online storage, which is like I'm saving files as I'm recording, then I definitely recommend solid state storage instead. And like the SanDisk Extreme is one of them. It's just a small, do I have one in here? I think I do. Oh, hey, right in the same place as the other drive.
Wow.
This is a SanDisk Extreme. I think that's what it's called. SSD. SanDisk Extreme Portable SSD.
How many gigabytes does that have?
This is a 500. It's the smallest one they make, 500 gigabytes. And then they get a 1 and 2 terabytes. These aren't that expensive. I think this is like about $100, maybe less. And it's very fast. So this is perfectly fine for storing projects you're working on. But really, she asked about the cloud. I'll say this. My MacBook Air has reminded me now for about 9 months to back it up because I haven't plugged it into a hard drive in 9 months. And the reason I don't bother is because it's all in the cloud. Everything important on that computer is in the cloud. Would it be a major bummer if the thing crashed tomorrow? Yeah, it would suck because I have a lot of apps installed on there. It would take me a while. So I'm really overdue. I should plug this drive in, get a fresh Time Machine backup, and this having this here will remind me to do that. I'm gonna back it up and get a fresh backup. So because that's a really nice way to restore a machine quickly if it goes down. You know, you want to be able to have a way to do that quickly if it's your only system.
Right.
So having a backup of the entire thing with a Time Machine is good. Having a backup all the time on Time Machine, if you use cloud-based storage like Dropbox, Google Drive, and iCloud, it's not nearly as important because it's all up in there in the cloud.
Yeah.
So
I use G Drive a lot, especially for video files and stuff like that. But you know, if I need to clear stuff off of my main hard drive, I will send it to my 10 terabyte or 8 terabyte or however big this thing is into there, where it's got every file I've ever had on any computer since about 1985. You know, except for the stuff that was on hard drives that I dropped. So I'm like, oh crap.
This 5 terabyte is bigger than adding up all my old backup hard drives combined. I have a cardboard box that's like this big, full of hard drives. This is bigger than that whole cardboard box of hard drive.
That's pretty amazing. All right.
Jeff Holman?
Yeah, Jeff Holman's question. Go for it, because it's your topic.
Jeff says, my child is starting to encroach in my view. Come in here. Come in here, kid. My daughter, Elijah. Say hi. Say hi.
Hi. Hello.
Hey, darling. Closer.
Hello.
Okay.
Anyway, she's here. She's here with me for the week. Jeff asks, let's see, what is the advantage of those panels you talked about having a diffuser in them? I don't know yet. Jeff, actually,
we'll find out.
Yeah, I am long overdue in doing a proper test and review of them. And, you know, the company knows I was out of town for a while. They've been very patient for me to test and return these demo panels. But I will be testing them to tell you. As I said, the theory is that because they have a diffuser, they get better performance from a thinner material, but the panel overall is thick because of that backing on it that has that diffuser adds another inch to the thickness of the whole panel. And it adds weight because it's thick. So I'm not sure if the added weight and the thickness from the wood counteracts the thinner foam, a thinner rock wool that's on the front, right? all of it sounds good in theory, but in practice, I have to actually try it out, and I'll be keeping you guys posted. I'll do another YouTube review video on my channel, and I'll let you guys know. He said, I like that I can get them from Home Depot. I don't think you can walk into a Home Depot and buy them off the shelf.
But you can probably order them online.
Yeah, they're on their website. I'm guessing shipping is much cheaper. That's a good question. Check out Home Depot. They looks like they sell them in packs of 8, and they're not cheap. 8 2x2 panels. Actually, is it 8 2x2s or 2x4s? I think 8 2x4 panels is $1,200. So yikes. They're not cheap.
Nope. They better work then.
They seem to everything about the design is sound. It's just, is it worth the extra cost and the extra weight for the panel? So that's what I have to experiment with. And thankfully I have the Studio Bricks booth where I will be able to do that. So as soon as I have the time, stay tuned.
All righty. Max Goldberg just wanted to put in there that George the Tech's rack templates are awesome. Depending on what it is that you want to get done. Great for audiobooks and mastering and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for saying that, Max. Yes, you need to know the context for which they were designed, and it does not preclude you using proper mic technique. So if you're just using these by rote, like record, all I got, like if you record, edit, and then hit the stack and don't even think about mic placement, it's going to sound like crap. You still have to use proper mic technique. You still have to put the mic in the right place. You still have to make sure acoustics are considered. You still have to do those things, right? If those things are considered, the stack will take a raw file and make it sound more like a finished produced file. And if that's what your client is looking for, a stack or a rack or effects chain or a preset or whatever is going to be an advantage to you. But recently, another compadre of ours on social media, sort of called, not me out specifically, but sort of called out the use of stacks and saying, you know, like a lot of times I'll talk to actors and I'll have to undo and explain to them why they shouldn't be using it. And the bottom line was he is working with major production companies that are, well, let's put it this way. He is a producer and an engineer. So he doesn't want to hear all that processing, right? He doesn't need it. He is doing it, right? But there's a huge amount of the work that's out there that doesn't have an engineer or producer. You, the actor, are stuck doing it. A lot of medical narration, a lot of e-learning, a lot of corporate stuff. You are doing all those jobs. Audiobook production. Oftentimes you are doing all this stuff. So you need to know the right time to use them, the context in which it's appropriate. It is not a one size, one fix, one click, fix everything solution by far. But I want to say that because I think it's important for people to understand that. But I want to say thanks, Max. Thanks for the plug. Appreciate it.
All righty. Justin Ramos asks the question that we said don't ask.
Question.
Which to choose, Sennheiser 416 or Neumann? Well, Sennheiser and Neumann are owned by the same people, for starters.
Adidas or Nike?
Yeah, exactly. You know, how far are you running? I have enough for one. Yeah, why would you need two? I also don't mind a cheap knockoff recommendation. My focus, love, is commercials, promo, and video games. Two, I want a cheap knockoff because my day job is being a driver. Something similar, but not perfect. A mic I can put in the glove box with my iRig. I can submit quick auditions on a break. Thanks, guys. Well, why a knockoff when you can just get a good microphone for not a lot of money?
Yeah. And also, you better really know what you're doing if you're going to try to record auditions in your car. Like that's, I always say recording out of your studio is the black belt of voiceover. So if you're getting started and don't even have one of these mics or even a cheap knockoff of one of these mics, the chances of you pulling off a convincing and great sounding performance in a car, you're really not setting yourself up for success. It's going to be really difficult to start booking work that way.
Especially with the engine running.
Yeah, you need to know so much more about what it's supposed to sound like, and you need to spend a lot of time perfecting that before you try doing this in a less than ideal situation. That's even harder. Right. So I'm going to get that disclaimer out of the way before I start naming any mics. But a knockoff of the Sennheiser 416 that's very popular, that sounds nothing at all like it, is the Cinco D2.
A lot of people like that one for some reason.
It's because it's $200. That's why. I would much rather use the ATC-875R for $175.
Yes.
This sounds a bit more like a 41.6, and I think it sounds better than the Cinco. A lot better, actually. So this would be the one I would get. This is not a knockoff by any means, but it's a really good entry point into having a shotgun style mic. So AT875R.
Yeah.
Very hard to go wrong there.
Got to know how to use it, though. There is technique to that. So
absolutely, yeah. I mean, yes, you can plug it into an iRig, and yes, you can pull off a recording in your car. Is it going to book you work? Maybe with those pay-to-plays, or maybe with a Fiverr gig where their quality for them is not that big a deal. Yeah. It's going to be tough for you to get good great quality in a car.
Yeah. And finally, Patricia Andrea on YouTube says, what's the name of the recycled gene material acoustic panels? What are those called?
The recycled gene material acoustic panels. Well, ATS has them. They're cotton. It's a cotton material that they sell. So when you're ordering panels from them, they have an eco or ecological version of their panels. And when you're ordering it, you'll have two options. And one of the material options is cotton. And actually, ATS on their website itself allows you, you can actually buy the raw materials. That's another thing that's cool about ATS is they have not only the panels built, but they also have a DIY panel section. So you can get materials and do them yourself. So if you go over to DIY, acoustic materials, click on acoustic insulation, you'll notice that scrolling down, they have acoustical cotton bats.
Yeah.
This is about the best deal going. For $108 plus shipping, so probably $140 maybe, you're getting six of these cotton bats. And you don't have to wrap these in fabric because they're cotton.
Right.
They may not look real great because it's just a recycled material. But man, you get six of these and put them on the walls of your closet or even your prefab booth, and it's going to sound way better than any foam. And because it's cotton, you don't have to worry about it getting in your lungs, itching your skin, nothing. So these are, I think, one of the best. This is sort of like a secret, no longer a secret. But this is like a secret to getting great acoustics made out of cotton for way less than getting prefabricated panels.
Yeah. Old towels can work too. Go over to Goodwill or something and buy old towels.
I mean, by the time you buy enough old towels to make the equivalent of six of these 2x4 foot panels, I don't know. That's going to be a lot of towels.
Yeah. In case of a flood, you're in good shape, though.
It's tough to beat. But anyway, yeah, that's what I would recommend.
It's amazing. So much stuff out there that you can do is DIY.
Yep.
And when you're starting out, you use the materials you have as opposed to investing in expensive stuff to make sure that you're getting it right. And if, you know, nobody needs to see how the sausage is made. If it sounds good,
it is good.
There you go. All righty. Well, thanks for all your questions. Again, if you want to send us a question sometime during the week, if something comes up, all you have to do is go over to email us questions at theguys@vobs.tv. Real simple. That's any question at all with Home Voiceover Studios or the voiceover business, you can email us there, theguys@vobs.tv. All righty. Well, all right, we're going to wrap things up right after these important messages, so don't go away. More to come right after these particular commercials. Let me go there. Let me find it. Where is it? It's right here. We're going last break, so we're going here.
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. There's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products, and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources, and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions, bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
You know, if you're a beginner in the voiceover business, and we know that a lot of you out there are tuning into our show because you want to learn how to record right and get things right. But one of the other things you have to have as a voice actor is a website. Now, you can go to an expensive webmaster and spend thousands of dollars, and then anytime you need something updated, you spend more money trying to get them to add a comma or add some color change or something along those lines. When you have a voiceover website, there's a number of elements that you have to have. One, your name. Two, your demos. And three, how to contact you. Other than that, you don't have to go hog wild with all sorts of stuff. Oh, I want it to have some animation going across. I want people to come to my website and be entertained. They don't. I mean, sometimes it can be, all right, that's unique. But you don't want to distract the people coming to your website from the reason that they came there, which is to hear your voice and how you deliver copy. So how do you get a website up really quick? Because you got to have one, and you got to have one today. Go over to voiceactor.com. That's voiceactor.com, where we have templated websites. And that means you can go in there, you can see where you can put your picture, you can put where to put your demos, and how to have your contact information on there. And with these templates, you can customize them the way you want. Change the color, put the picture where you want, and they've got a bunch of different templates that make getting your website up and on the internet real easy and real fast. And you can start off with a free account and get it on the internet. And then they have some more that are a little bit more expensive. $20 a month will get you a sustained website with your design. So go over to voiceactor.com, voiceactor.com, to get your website up and running right this very minute.
We are the World Voices Organization,
also known as WOVO. We're the not-for-profit industry association of freelance voice talent. VoiceOver is a complex entrepreneurial business.
WOVO is there to promote the professional nature of voice work to the public, to those already established in their voiceover practice,
and to those who want to pursue voiceover as a career.
Membership benefits include
a supportive and creative community,
a profile and demos on voiceover.biz, our searchable directory of vetted professional voice talent,
our exclusive demo player for your personal website,
our mentoring program, business resources, and our video library,
our annual WOVOCon conference, a fun and educational weekend with other members with the chance to learn and network,
webinars and great speakers, and weekly social chats with other members around the world.
If your world is voiceover,
make WOVO part of it. World Voices Organization.
We speak for those who speak for a living.
You're still watching VOBS?
All righty. Well, if you're still watching, thank you for still watching. Anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. Next week, on this very show, we will have the one and only Hugh Klitsky. Who's Hugh Klitsky? Hugh Klitsky will talk about how to get your voiceover demos right. He is a really good director, and he understands how to make your demos sing.
Excellent.
Yes, so that'll be a very interesting discussion, so we're looking forward to that. Let's see here. Who are our donors of the week? We've got Grace Newton.
We've got Christopher Epperson.
Robert Leadham.
Stephen Chandler.
Casey Clack.
Jonathan Grant.
Tom Pinto.
Greg Thomas.
A Doctor Voice.
Antland Productions.
Martha Kahn.
949 Designs.
Sarah Borges.
Philip Sapir.
Brian Page.
Patty Gibbons.
Rob Ryder.
Shauna Pennington Baird.
Don Griffith.
Trey Mosley.
Diana Birdsall.
Maria Mackus.
And Sandra Manwiller. Yeah, you can donate to the show and help things be technically perfect. That's why we do it. So you want to maintain the show, you can be part of the action and get your name mentioned every week. Tonight, we have to mention, if you want help with your home voiceover studio, if something's broken or you want to learn it properly, how to record properly, you can talk to one of us. You can talk to me over at homevoiceoverstudio.com or George at...
And our team.
Yes.
At georgethe.tech. Don't forget to use VOBSFAN10 for 10% off at checkout.
All righty. We need to thank our sponsors for whom this show never would have existed. Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActor.com. And WorldVoices.org. The... Industry Association of Freelance Voice Talent. And yes, I'm the president, not just a client. All righty. Also, Jeff Holman for a great job in the chat room tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. He's out there. And Sue Merlino, who's not even here, but she's here in spirit. And of course, Lee Pinney, simply for being Lee Pinney.
And the best one there is.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there ain't no other Lee Pinney. Look him up. You'll find just one. Anyway... Look, this is not a very good business for people who are not experienced at voiceover or at recording. You have to learn it. You got to be good at it if you want to succeed. And if you want to succeed, you got to talk to one of us because we're the ones that know how to tell you how to do it right. But the bottom line is, if you're in voiceover and you want your recording to be where it's supposed to be, we have the philosophy of if it sounds good,
it is good.
I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S. Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk.
Hey, there's Jeff. Hey.
Tech Talk.
All righty. Hey, we'll see you all next week with Hugh Klitsky. Have a good one, everybody.
See ya. That was good, Jeff.
That was funny. Well-